I'm Deidre.
And I'm Chelsea.
And we're giving you A Million Murders. Hello, everybody.
Hello. How are y'all?
Yes. Hope you all are doing well. How are you?
Oh, I'm good.
I know. We just told each other this.
How are you?
An hour ago. I'm good. I'm doing well. I've got us an oldie but goodie.
Oh.
For today, I'll be doing a murder, which, you know, the murders are kind of few and far in between for me sometimes, but I just get caught up.
Yeah.
The ghost inside my children. I was talking about that at
The ghost inside my child?
Yeah. Like all those episodes, how I was telling somebody about that. And I was like, yeah, like they just got a hold on me.
Yeah.
What?
I just seen a wasp, but it was outside.
Oh, yes. But,
They back.
They are. It's a lot. It's getting worse.
Can we talk real quick about the cicadas? It's supposed to be coming up from the ground after like so many years, 45 some years.
Yeah, I think what it is like every 17 years, there's those one cicadas that come up.
And then because there's two separate ones.
Right. There's like, but they're both coming out at the same time.
At the same time. This lands on the same time.
And I think that it's the first time it's done it since like the 1800s.
Yeah, and they come out of the ground, Deidre.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's what, you have to watch out for snakes around trees because the cicadas like to plant their larvae around trees. And then the snakes, like these copperheads and...
No. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they get at the bottom of the tree so that they can, like, eat the larva.
Mm-mm.
And I'm like, I don't know what's worse. Like, I don't want the cicadas, but I don't want the snakes. Especially the poisonous ones, like...
Those things are loud. They're like, ah!
They are loud.
They're louder than that.
But... Have you ever had one in your car? Ugh. It just sounds...
Ugh. I just want to vomit at the word of cicada. Or cicada, however.
Yeah, cicada.
And another thing, I was at work last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, it wasn't even last night. It was a couple of days ago. I'm eating these tuna packets for my diet. And it's the Starkist brand.
Yeah.
On the back of it, it said, this was made in or by Thailand. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm reading it, and I'm like, Myra and Felicia sitting there. And I read it, and I said, this was made by Thailand. And y'all.
No.
Myra said, Thailand? And I was like, yeah. She was like, it's Thailand. I was like, no. I done went off. I said, there's an H by the T. What does a TH make? I did it. And I said, Thailand. 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 Oh. Why put... I told Myra, I said, I'm bringing this up on the podcast because this right here...
We're talking about it.
Had me heated and my blood was warm, bubbling.
Yeah, it's just another one of those things where there's the silent letter.
That's dumb. Who... Why be silent? Why make a sound and also be silent?
See, but this is the thing, because this happens in every language. Like,
I'm just saying, why is it even invented in the first place? That's like, what I'm getting at. I don't want to know why it's silent.
I don't know. But people think the same things. It's like people who have English as a second language is like, why is there through T-H-R-O-U-G-H and through T-H-R-R-E-W, and they mean different things. Like, one is talking about going inside
something.
And one is just talking about throwing something. Like, what is...
Or through emotions, through my emotions.
Yeah, like, I'm through with this.
I'm through with
like
this.
Like, it could be completed. You know, so it's just one of those things where it's like, why?
I don't care.
Thailand.
Oh, I thought you...
Like,
I thought you was about to explain. I was like, I don't care because it's still stupid.
No, no. I'm just like, it's just.
But yeah.
But yeah, but it's just one of those words.
Anyways.
Okay, well.
That was my TED talk for the day.
Yes. Well, this one, this murder has all kinds of German words and things like that in it. So yeah. a lot of.
You got Mama?
Figuring it out. Yeah.
I love that movie. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. I haven't bought a DVD in like 15 years. So all of those, I've had those for like 20 years or more.
I bought two DVDs last week.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered them online. I got Crossroads with Britney Spears that every time you Google it, it's always not them. And I'm like, why are y'all trying to get rid of this movie?
So I it's like Shazam that. Or whatever yes. it is. Kazam. I forgot what the name of that one movie is.
I ordered that and then I ordered something else. Can't remember what it was. But yeah.
Yes, yes. She's talking about my bookshelf because we are in
our podcast room.
Yes. Like I've made a podcast room in my house. Very excited about it. Thank you, Stephanie, for letting me buy these chairs because yes, the chairs thank are you fabulous. So much. Yes, we love it. So we're actually like...
Our booties, thank you.
Yes, and our hips.
Oh, and our hips. Because our hips, cause hips don't hips lie.
And, yeah. Yeah, because it's been a struggle. But anyway, yes. So I'm going to do the Hinterkaifeck murders today. Mm. Some of you all know about this. Some of you all don't. But... If you were a Screaming Sugar listener, you've probably heard this, but some of these are too good to just leave on one podcast and not bring it to the other. So I've been holding on to this one for a little bit. So here we go. On the night of March 31st, 1922, 103 years ago, one of the most gruesome and bamboozling unsolved crimes would take place in German history.
Mm.
Yes. Okay. This one always... It's one that's always in the back of my head that I'm hoping somehow we're going to get it figured out. And I don't think we are. But I just love this story. Not that I love people dying, but
the
mystery behind it. Like, I want it to be solved so badly.
Right, yeah.
So,
I used to be mad when you done.
Yeah, I know. Unsolved, you hate an unsolved.
And then I'm like.
But the unsolved ones have to be told.
They have to be told. You know? I was like, you know what? She brought me in reality. I never looked at it like that. I just want to know who done it.
Yeah, I know.
I love that. I need the tea. I need all of it.
I know. I'm the same way.
I need the ending.
So. Yes. Yes. Okay. So, on a small Bavarian farmstead built in 1863 called Hinterkaifeck. Now, Hinter means behind in German, and Kaifeck was the name of the hamlet at the time.
Mm.
So, they lived behind Kaifeck, this hamlet, which I'm assuming is like a town or a borough or something like that. So, on this Bavarian farmstead, Hinterkaifeck, lived six family members. Andreas Gruber, 63, who was the patriarch. His wife, Cazilia, 72. Their widowed daughter, Victoria Gabriel, 35. Her two children, Cazilia, named after her mom.
Mm-hmm.
And Joseph, 2. And the maid, Maria Bumgartner, 44.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we got mom, dad, the widowed daughter, her two children, and
yes,
the maid.
Yes, yes, it's coming back. It's
okay,
coming
back. Oh, you remember now? Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
I remember the title, but then not the story.
Right, now you're remembering
and
the story.
And now I'm remembering, I'm like,
yes, yes, okay. So before we get to the crime, there were some strange things happening on the farm that you should know about. That everyone should know about.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yes. So, 6 months before the incident, the family maid quit. Apparently, from hearing strange sounds in the attic and believing the house was haunted, she rolled right out. And I don't blame her. Like, she literally was like, your house is haunted. They're like, what are you talking about? She's like, I'm hearing stuff in the attic. And she left,
That would
y'all.
Be me. And you?
Yeah,
gone. What?
No.
What was that young girl's name that lived in that house? Oh, she wasn't here long enough for us to know.
Yeah, like, wait, like, oh, the mate, like, listen, when this goes down, people are going to be like, Mary? They got Mary too? And then they're going to be like, no, no. Actually, her name was Maria. And they're like, who's Maria? Like, they just got her because the other lady left. Like, she was not playing around.
No.
And I can't even imagine, like, imagine, don't even, not even just being her.
Mm-hmm.
Being her, like, grandchildren. You almost didn't exist. Your whole family line was almost wiped out. But your great-grandma or your grandma was like, hold up, not these spirits. And she left. She saved her whole bloodline, okay? Like, craziness, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, she left. She was like, mm-mm, the house is haunted, okay? Now, the same month of the crime, so not, so we're back to, you know, March.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Andreas had found a strange newspaper from Munich. Munich's about 45 minutes away.
Okay.
Nope, excuse me, 45 Munich miles away.
Munich with an M?
Yep, Munich. Munich.
Okay.
Yes. So, yeah, that's a newspaper 45 miles away. And it was on the property, and no one remembered buying it. So Andreas figured the postman had given the paper to the wrong house or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what happened. After some research, it came out that no one in the vicinity of Hinterkaifeck subscribed to that paper. So they finally went around, I guess, and asked everybody, hey, we found this newspaper from Munich. Is anybody subscribed? Everybody was like, no, we don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and 45 miles away.
Yeah, that's a long.
That's a long way away,
mm-hmm.
You know, so.
I mean, would they deliver them?
Yeah, so they would if you were subscribed to it. Kind of like how they do, like, the Messenger Inquirer and the Courier Journal.
Maybe it was
just
so expensive because it was so far away, maybe. That's why they were like, no, we don't want it.
No, no, they were just asking if anybody had subscribed to that paper because they found it.
Oh,
and it was from 45 miles away. So it wasn't a local newspaper.
Okay.
So they were like, well, what's it doing out here? Nobody at Hinterkaifeck remembered subscribing to it.
I don't know where my brain was at.
No, you're good. Well, and this is the family trying to figure this out.
Okay.
Not the police. So when he found that paper, I guess he tried to, like, give it to one of his neighbors thinking that he got it by mistake.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
He found out no one in the vicinity was subscribed to it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no explanation why it's in the area, let alone his house.
Yeah.
So, that's weird. Like, it's just like, oh, all these things happen, and it's like, y'all should have gotten out of there. I wish they would have. But, okay. So, no one subscribed to the paper. A few days before the 31st, Gruber told neighbors he found tracks in the fresh snow that led from the forest to a broken door lock in the farm's machine room.
Hmm.
Okay. So, it's Germany, March, it's snowing.
Yeah.
There's snow on the ground. And in the fresh snow, there are tracks. There are tracks that lead to a broken door lock.
Mm-mm.
Okay. Later that night, they heard footsteps in the attic, but Gruber found no one when he checked the building. And this is Andreas, when they say Gruber. Although he told a couple of people about what was happening, he refused to accept help, and the details were never reported to the police. And according to a friend of Victoria's daughter, Victoria fled the farm the night of the 30th after a violent fight and had later been found in the forest. Okay, so the night before all of this takes place, the daughter was found in the forest after a violent fight. So, you know, what's going on there? Then on the 31st, it's just the day all of this happens, right?
Mm-hmm.
The new maid, Maria Baumgartner, arrived at the farm for her first day. So, you know, her sister ended up leaving the farm that day after a short stay. She's assumed to be the last person to see the family alive. Maria's sister.
Wow.
Okay. Because, so Maria's first day on the job, she's murdered.
Could you imagine? Could you, I'm not laughing because she died, but I'm just laughing because, like, could you imagine,
like,
dying like that on your first day?
No.
Of a job?
No. No. And I mean, like, you just drop your sister off and you're like, yep, she's gonna go live here now, and then she's gone.
Uh-huh.
So, ugh, okay. Now, on April 1st, coffee sellers Hans Shervosky and Edward Shervosky, I'm sure I spelled this right, but I wanted to make sure I was saying it right, but I think it's Edward. Yeah, I think it's still Edward. Yeah, next day, April 1st, April Fool's Day, coffee sellers come to the house to place an order. When no one responded to the knocks on the door and window, they walked around the yard but found no one. They only noticed the gate to the machine house was open before they decided to leave. Now remember, the machine house is where that lock was broken a couple days before the murder. So,
and when you say machine room, what does that mean?
I think the machine house is just like, because they're on a farm. Mm-hmm. So I think it's just all machinery. Their,
okay.
Yeah, all their stuff for the farm.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. They just call it the machine room?
Mm-hmm. I guess they just call it the machine house. Yeah. So yeah, so that gate was open, and Victoria's little girl, they noticed that that gate was open, and then they decided to leave. They were like, oh, that gate's open. But they done knocked all around the house.
Yeah.
Nobody's answering, so they just leave. Well, then Victoria's little girl, Kazelia, was absent without an excuse from the school the next few days, and the family didn't show up to church, which was unusual. So people in the area also noticed that no one was tending to the farm as well. Mm-hmm. And the family dog wasn't roaming around and barking, and it was eerily quiet. So people are noticing that, you know, there's not a lot of activity going on at Hinterkaifeck, right. And they're like, that's really weird. So an assembler named Albert Hoffner went to Hinterkaifeck on the 4th of April to repair the engine of the food chopper. He said he hadn't seen any of the family and heard nothing but the sounds of the farm animals, and the dog was inside the barn. So, and that breaks my heart because he was probably watching over the bodies, you know, because that's where the, you know. So after waiting to see if anyone would greet him, he decided to do the repair and finished about 4.5 hours later. So even though no one came to the door, he was like, well, I'm supposed to do this anyway. So he just went ahead and finished the repair and left. Around 3:30 the same day, Lorenz Schlittenbauer, a close neighbor, heard about the situation and rounded up two neighbors, Jacob Siegel and Michael Poole, to go to the farm. When they got there, they noticed all the doors were locked and the entrance to the machinery room was open. So once again, they found it the same way, pretty much. Mm-hmm. From there, they entered the stable. Okay, now here's where, you know, we probably need to throw in... No, we definitely need to throw in a trigger warning because this part is pretty sad and pretty detailed as well. So, trigger warning about body trauma, I guess you could say. So, under a board covered with hay, the men found Andreas and Kazelia, their daughter Victoria, and her daughter Kazelia's bloody bodies stacked on top of each other. They all showed signs of massive head trauma, and their skulls and faces were crushed. Okay, like, so what? That's, yeah, 4 of the 6 people that were living on the farm are just found stacked on top of each other under this board covered with hay. All right, now the older Kazelia had strangulation marks on her neck, and they found Victoria's daughter with a clump of her hair in her hand and bald spots on her scalp, where she had ripped her hair out as she laid in agony for several hours before her death.
It's terrible.
I mean, it's so awful. I mean, I can't even wrap my mind around that.
Yeah.
It is so awful. Like, you know, and this is like the, yeah, and this is the early 1920s. I mean, this is brutal.
Yeah.
For, you know, any time. But back then, like, what is going on? So, a hallway connected the barn to the house. And Schlittenbauer headed into the Gruber's living room by himself. Unlocked the house door from the inside and let the other men in the house, which it's like, you call the police, but anyway. So Gruber's new maid, Maria Bumgardner, was dead in her bed, and Victoria's son Joseph lay lifeless in his crib. Mm-mm. They had both died from violent blows to their heads, too. Now, the police are beginning to investigate, and the news of the murders were spreading quickly. So, locals came to the farm. They walked around the crime scene, poking the bodies and destroying evidence. This is where, you know, I'm like, okay, first of all, what are we doing here? Why is everybody here? Everybody needs to be gone. Mm-hmm. Get out of here. This is a crime scene. And y'all are poking the bodies and stuff. Like, there's just no respect. Mm-mm. But back then, people, I mean, obviously, humans have always been fascinated with death. We have a podcast about true crime. Mm-hmm. But I would never go to a crime scene and look at bodies.
Mm-mm. No.
Of, like, people in the neighborhood and, like, poking them with it. You know, it's just...
And that's that's...
It's degrading.
It is degrading. It's degrading.
Yeah, I mean, it's just awful. So, anyway, and the cops are letting people do this. So, someone finally told the nearest police department, 45 miles away in Munich. So, like, some of the police weren't even there at this point. It's just, like, the locals, for the most part. And then, like, some police officers. Mm-hmm. So, then finally, they had a whole police department come out. And lead investigator, George Rheingruber, I almost messed that up, Rheingruber, drove from Munich and spent a few hours investigating the scene. The lack of useful forensic evidence and the huge amount of speculation among the Gruber's neighbors messed with the official investigation of the crimes. However, one police officer concluded that someone had lured the victims one by one to the barn before killing them. So, someone was just waiting. And it's almost like someone was like, they've been gone a long time. Like, let me go check. And then they just killed them. And then it was like until they finally, I guess, got through to everyone except the maid and the youngest child. Mm-hmm. You know, who obviously couldn't get lured out.
Yeah.
The maid wouldn't leave the baby by themselves. Right. So Dr. Johann Baptist M. Mueller performed the autopsies the day after their bodies were discovered. He determined the murder weapon was probably a mattock, which is an agricultural tool that's shaped like a pickaxe, mm-hmm. with an adze and a chisel edge as the ends of the head, or a pickaxe. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I put shaped like a pickaxe and then or pickaxe, but yeah, so it's got like the chisel on one edge, you know, of the head, and the other side is like a normal axe. Okay, so a year after the murders, the community demolished the farm and they found the pickaxe in the attic of the house before it was demolished. So like there was no murder weapon to be found. They just knew based on the markings on their bodies that it was probably a pickaxe, something like that. Well, then they found this pickaxe before they demolished the barn, the farm. Mm-hmm. So after the autopsies, a court physician removed their heads and sent them to Munich for further examination. Mm-mm. Yeah, like they just took their heads off their bodies and was like, we need to send these off. Okay, so some say they were given to clairvoyants to learn more about the killer or killers who murdered them. For some reason, their skulls were kept in Munich, so the family and Maria had to be buried without their heads. Then, the skulls went missing following World War II and were never recovered. So this poor family has gone through enough as it is, and now they're buried without their heads. Because they sent them off for investigations. And then World War II. Which, World War II. They died in 1923. World War II. Was like 1940 something. Like, it was not. Because World War I, I think, ended in 1918. And World War II. Yeah, it was 1939 to 1945. So they lost the heads. Like, they had to be buried without them But then 20 years later, now they're really lost. Like they can't ever be found now. So they couldn't find it for like 20 years. And then it was just like, oh, there's no way we're going to find them now.
Yeah.
It was just like, what is happening? So anyway, it was easy for the police to figure out when the murders happened because Maria, the new maid, had just started working at the farm the day of the killings. Her sister visited that afternoon and the mailman delivered the mail. The next day on Saturday, when he came back, the letters hadn't been touched. Or the letters had been untouched. So they could kind of make a good timeline. It's like they were alive when her sister left.
Mm-hmm.
The mailman dropped off the mail. And sometime after that, they never did check their mail. So they were either already gone by that time or they just didn't get around to checking the mail that day, but were not alive the next morning to be able to go get it before the mail could come again. So, originally, the police thought the motive for the crime was robbery. But when they found the Grubers' supply of cash in the house, they knew the Grubers were murdered for a different reason.
Mm-hmm.
According to the evidence, the perpetrator might have stayed hidden at the farm for a couple of days after the murders. Which is freaky.
Yeah, that is freaky.
Like, you kill 6 people, and then you're chilling at the farm for a couple of days at the crime scene around the bodies because you know the 2 bodies, the maid and the baby, are in the house, and then the rest of the family was out in the barn. So like you still have 2 bodies in the house.
Yeah.
So you know, the neighbors reported seeing smoke rising from the chimney sometime after that Friday that they were murdered. Somebody's building fires. Farm animals and the livestock were fed, and someone had even milked the cows. There was also recently eaten food in the house, so someone not only lived in the house after murdering them, but maintained the farm and made meals in the house. Just eating around dead people.
That's insane.
This is somewhat like, this person is unhinged. They have no sense of empathy or remorse. I mean, for them to murder 6 people, right. We know that. Mm-hmm. But, like, you don't even care to not be, you know, to even, like, you don't care that you're sticking around.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like when they cover their faces because there's, like, deep down there's some kind of, like, guilt or shame. Like, they can't look at what they did.
Yeah.
No, not him, honey. He's out here, there, whoever, out here, eating sandwiches, milking cows, keeping up a farm that didn't belong to them. For what? For what reason? You know, I don't know. But anyway, so there's a little bit of scandal here, you know, and we don't really know 100% if this is true, but while the police were investigating, they heard all kinds of dirty laundry aired about the Grubers. One major indiscretion kept coming up, though. Some unknown person filed a complaint either in 1914 or 15. So this is about 6 to 8 years before the murder, I think. And this complaint was against Andreas and his daughter, Victoria, for incestuous relations. Okay, so, and it's a unknown person who filed this complaint. At the time, Victoria would have been pregnant or would have recently given birth to her daughter. The court found Andreas and Victoria guilty, and both of them served 1 year in prison. There is a conflicting report out there, though, that's saying that Victoria may have served 1 month. So, yeah, I'm hoping that it wasn't really incest. Like, I'm hoping.
Yeah, I hope not. Oof.
Because I feel like if it was, and there was that violent fight that people found her in the woods, then I don't think it would have been a consensual situation. You know, so I'm hoping that that's not the truth.
Yeah.
But in the past, Victoria said her daughter's father was Carl Gabriel, who died in battle in December of 1914. However, not long after Carl and Victoria married in April of 1914, Carl left and returned to his parents' house before he went to war. One witness claimed Carl left because Victoria was cheating and there had been questions about who her daughter belonged to. Other witnesses said a mysterious man hanging around the Gruber farm. Other witnesses said a mysterious man had been hanging around the Gruber farm and believed he might have been the murderer. One man remembers passing the farm the day after the murders and said he crossed paths with a man carrying a lantern. He couldn't see his face because the man held the lantern too close to his eyes, making him blinded by the light. So, like, you don't want somebody to see your face. Because, you know, a lantern, like, who's wanting to hold a lantern all the way up to their face? Like, that's too much. That's like some Scooby-Doo mess. Like, that's what that reminds me of. Like, some, like, yeah, like some caretaker or something, like, holding it up. Like, I don't know. But that same man said he also noticed the smoke from the fireplace had a disgusting smell. This was not looked into, and no one knows what was being burned in the oven that night. So, but none of the bodies were burned, but it could have been, you know, anything with their, you know, So, gosh, I can tell I did this a couple of years ago because I've got, I wrote this stuff the way it's written in German. So, because I was like, oh yeah, like I'll remember how to, now I'm like, so Simon, Scheiße. So Reichlander. Okay, look, because I was like, why? I looked, I said, ooh, I know that that symbol means something specific. Jesus. Okay. Reichlander. Okay.
Reichlander.
Because that's how you say it. It's like Reichlander. And then it's got the umlaut over the A, so it's like A, like
Reichlander. No, I don't.
Reichlander. Okay.
Nope. I would have said Rashonda.
Which, look.
It's crazy how different.
I know. That's what I was saying earlier. I'm like, you just never know. Because everything is so specific. D's or T's. If there's two if there's two vowels in German side by side, you pronounce the second vowel, not the first. Yeah, we don't know what was being burned that night. But Simon Reichlander, a local farmer and butcher, was on his way home when he saw two figures at the edge of the forest, which none of this is sitting well with me. Like, at the edge of the forest, you see two figures, and when the strangers saw him, they turned around so their faces would be hidden. He didn't think much of it until the murders had happened. But he was like, oh yeah, I saw these two guys, and they like turned away. So the police interviewed suspects, including traveling salesmen and tradesmen who were in the area at the time. Over time, the suspect lists grew to over 100 people, but the police made no arrests in the crime. Okay, so here are our main suspects. So suspect number one is Lorenz Schlittenbauer.
Schlittenbauer.
He's one of the main suspects. He's the neighbor who initiated the search for the Grubers at Hinterkaifeck with the two neighbors. In 1931, police interviewed Schlittenbauer during their reinvestigation. And according to that interview, Schlittenbauer and Victoria began sleeping together in 1918 after his wife died. She wanted him to marry her, and he was open to it, but when she told him she was pregnant, he doubted that he was the father because Andreas Gruber was known to be sleeping with his daughter because of that rumor, right? Hopefully rumor. So he was just like, ugh, I don't know about it. So once Victoria told Lorenz she was pregnant, he filed a complaint. So, okay, the unknown person turns out to be Schlittenbauer, the person who turned in the incest thing.
Okay.
But apparently it was Lorenz. But Victoria pleaded with him in tears to accept the fatherhood of the child. He agreed and withdrew the complaint. Although he never knew who the father was for sure, he referred to Joseph. I wonder if this is Joseph. This is probably Joseph. I didn't think about it. I'm calling this baby Joseph. His name is Joseph, probably for sure. As Manbubaru, meaning my boy. In the end, Schlittenbauer's, I feel like I say that so hard, Schlittenbauer's statements convinced police he was innocent. But the locals were always suspicious of him because he unlocked the door with the key and went into the house alone. And a key had went missing several days before the murders, but Victoria could have given him a key. So we don't know if this is the missing key or if this is a different key. One Victoria gave him, but the key went missing. He had a key, so we just don't know for sure how he got it, but he had one.
Mm-mm, that's creepy.
Yeah, so we don't know if it's because he was with Victoria or if he's the killer and he stole it, you know, a couple days before. But the two neighbors that went with him asked why he'd go in alone, not knowing if the murderer was still inside, and he replied to check on his son. He also disturbed the bodies at the scene, possibly compromising the investigation. He also made strange comments after the murders, which seemed like only things the killer would know. A local teacher said she walked up to Lorenz visiting the memorial in 1925, and when he asked him why he was visiting, which was nosy, like he was at the memorial, like this is where his son and his girlfriend, whatever, betrothed. And the teacher's like, what are you doing here? It's like, well, I don't know. But people knew him and he and Victoria had something going on, you know. But anyway, he said the murderer tried to bury the family, but the ground was frozen. Yeah. Another rumor is that Lorenz killed the family after Victoria demanded financial support for Joseph or Joseph. Before he died in 1941, he won several civil claims for slander against people who named him the murderer of Hinterkaifeck. So people thought that it was him, but he won the court cases. Okay, next we have Carl Gabriel. This is Victoria's husband who's reportedly killed in World War I. His fellow soldiers never recovered his body. Therefore, the police needed to confirm his death. Some people thought Carl returned to the Gruber's home to seek revenge because he didn't believe he was the father of Joseph Joseph. But when investigators spoke to a few soldiers who said they saw Carl's dead body, they stopped pursuing the matter. This story got around because some German prisoners claimed to have seen Carl in a Soviet Russian uniform. Without a motive or further leads, the case dragged on with no resolution. The police finally closed the file in 1955. So, I mean, that's still about 31 years, 32 years after the case. And in 2007, the Fürstenfeldbruck Police Academy reopened the case. But with evidence being lost and witnesses that had passed on, it made it impossible for them to solve the Hinterkaifeck murders. The team did agree on a theory of who killed the family, but they kept it a secret to respect the descendants of their suspect. Yeah, so they have an idea of who they think the killer is, but they won't say who, so that like those people's descendants can just get on with their lives and everything. But I'm dying to know.
Me too.
Yes. Today, the town goes by Waidhofen, and you can pay your respects at the memorial on the land that was placed after they demolished the farm. The monument has each victim's names and year of birth, and it reads, on March 31st, 1922, the Gabriel Gruber family fell victim to the ungodly hand of the murderer. They also have a monument that's larger in the local cemetery where they're all laid to rest.
Wow. And
that is the story of the Hinterkaifeck murders.
I always liked that one. But it just frustrates me because I'm like,
oh, I know. I mean, who did it?
Who did it? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just weird. It's weird because there's nothing that's really telling people. There's nothing, there's no why, you know? They didn't steal any money. They stayed, ate the food. They took care of the farm. Like, this wouldn't be someone who has, like, a personal vendetta against the whole family and wanted them to just fail miserably. Or they have enough of a heart to feed the animals, but not enough of a heart to not murder two children.
Yeah, children.
But you know what? Serial killers will do stuff like that. Like, they'll have a dog that they love and adore, but then they'll murder children and they don't care. Mm-mm. So, like, the disconnect there could just be a disconnect, not, you know, but I don't know. Mm. And, you know, but, and that's the thing between Germans and Americans. In America, if, you know, some Americans have been working on this, we would have known exactly who they thought the killer was. It would have not have been a question about it being aired. But German culture is different, you know, even with you know, the genocide and the killing of Jewish people, they make them, like, they make their students go back and rewatch all of the awful things that happened to the Jewish community, the Jewish community, you know, back during World War II and all of these, you know, awful things. Like, they are like, we won't forget that this happened, you know? Mm-hmm. So they just do things differently over there as they should. I mean, you know, they're just like, we're not going to put up with this ever again.
Different, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So they're like, we're going to keep this a secret. I'm dying to know, though, because I feel like now, I mean, the DNA has to be gone because they just let everybody just trope around.
Yeah, we never want to know.
We're never going to find out. It's been
103 years.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's the story. And yeah, I guess we aren't ever going to figure it out, which stinks. But this poor family went through so much. We don't even know how many people were a part of this. We saw two people, but then the suspect list wasn't really, like, you know, a ton of people. Mm. So, like, who would these two people be? Are they just killers running through? But anyway, that is the story. Well, if you have any questions, comments, concerns, stories, hint, hint, you can email them to us at amillionmurders@gmail.com.
You can also go to our Instagram. You can check out the pictures of the cases that we cover. You can check our Facebook page. We try to update on that as much as we can. And if you don't have email or whatever, or if it's just easier, you can always ask us questions on there. Send us messages and stuff.
Yes, yes. Yep, so we want to thank you all so much for tuning in.
And we hope you come back for
a million more. Bye.